Hi, we are Jetpacks for Sale.
And you're listening to Freeform Radio, 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Mass.
Sunday morning, everyone. It is 4 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. And you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Touch Freeform Radio. We're also on streaming live on the internet, WMFO.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. On this Sunday, November the 5th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in some sports conversation. And to do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything in the world of sports we can talk about. And I'd love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. Okay, 10 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. And hopefully your clock is saying 4 a.m. You're supposed to set your clock back 1 hour around 2 o'clock this morning or whenever. So it should be on schedule with everybody else. So it's 10 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. So you can do that right now if you haven't done it already. Okay, let's get right into the National Basketball Association had a few games last night. The Grizzlies 113 and the Clippers 104. The Pistons 108 and the Kings 99. The Pelicans 96 and the Bulls 90. The Timberwolves 112 and the Mavericks 99. And the Warriors 127 and the Nuggets 108. Okay, Celtics didn't play last night, but they had a big win the night before going into Oklahoma City and defeating the Thunder 101-94. And to be truthful, I did not see the comeback. I had other things going on, and so I saw the first half, and we were playing terribly, actually down 18 points at halftime. So it was a tremendous comeback by the Celtics, and it's a big win against a team that allegedly a contender for the NBA title. And so, therefore, going into Oklahoma City with our all our young guys and pulling one out after playing so terribly in the first half, that it's a major, major, major feather in the cap of the Boston Celtics. And, excuse me, as I've said on previous programs, being a Celtics fan going back even before the Bob Cousy, Bill Russell era, this is the most athletic, in my estimation, the most athletic Celtics team that I've ever seen in the illustrious history. Other teams have had some, tremendous athletic players, but from 1 to 15, there is not one, I can say, I wouldn't say it, but there's not one player that you would not say has tremendous athleticism. And we've got our rim protector in Baines, and Theis is doing really well also. And we just added Marcus Morris for the first time. And then when you consider we're doing this, all this, seven straight wins in a row, and without Gordon Hayward, who's, going to be the second leading scorer on the team behind Kyrie Irving, it's just quite an accomplishment. I had high hopes for them, well, prior to the injury of Gordon Hayward. I thought they were going to give the Cavaliers a run for their money for the Eastern Conference title. And the fact that they're doing it now without Hayward, I'm telling all my family and friends, this is going to be a dynasty because they have so many young players under contract for quite a while, and we still have a big pick coming from Philadelphia, I believe. We gave away our Brooklyn pick in the trade with the Cavaliers, but I think we still have another high pick coming up in the draft this year, and I think it's protected, but I think it can be in the can't be a number one pick, but it can be, I think, from 2 to 5, and I think it's the Philadelphia pick that they have from the LA Lakers, I believe. But anyway, let's deal with the cards that we have right now. Because we have, excuse me, we have players in, down in Maine, however you want to call it. I never did understand down Maine, but anyway, since Maine is above, geographically above Massachusetts, but we'll let it go. One of those things, one of those New England things, I guess. Anyway, I'm saying the Celtics have a fantastic, and you figure these guys are so young. Jaylen Brown, who's starting and playing generally, I guess, a shooting guard with Kyrie Irving playing the point, is doing a fantastic job. And then we get Jason Tatum, who I didn't think would be a starter coming off. I thought he would be coming off the bench, is starting, and he's doing a really great job, not only offensively, but defensively. And these guys are, what, 19 and 21? So there you go. The future looks extremely bright. And beyond that, Danny Ainge has brought in Baines, who I never heard of, with backup point guard for backup center for Detroit in the Avery Bradley trade, I guess. And he's been playing lights out. Like I said, we just got Marcus Morris back, and he got into the game in Oklahoma City. He got 9 points after being out for the first eight games. Is he going to be a starter, or are they going to continue to bring him off the bench? I don't know, but anyway, it's working really well. I would say that he's probably come off the bench. And that would make our second team really good, because we have Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier in the backcourt doing really well, and Theis up front. We don't have a backup center, really, but we've been playing positionless basketball, and so we've been getting some big guys up front as well. Ojale and Gabuselli and... they've been mixing and matching, and sometimes keeping Horford on the floor so that he can help do the rebounding and other outside things for the second team. So therefore, it looks good. I'm not predicting a championship. Not yet. But this is going to be a team that you have to watch out for. You just figure they're going to get better. I'm saying, excuse me, early in the year, that after the All-Star break, this team should really be rolling. Well, they're rolling, and the All-Star break is still quite a way away. So things are going to be looking up, hopefully, barring any more unfortunate injuries. And there's no need now to attempt to rush Haywood back. Hopefully he'll go through all the rehab that he needs to do. And by the time the season rolls around next year, who knows, maybe even deep into the playoffs, you know, he might be available. But anyway, like I said, there's no rush on his rehab. Okay, 417 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, and we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, November the 5th, the first Sunday in the month of November. I don't know where the fall went. I had an event the end of August and the beginning of September, and by the time I got back from that, the next 2 months just rolled away. I still have no clue where things are or what's going on. But anyway, we're hanging in there. Thanksgiving is coming, and you know, Christmas is not far behind that, and before you know that, we're into the new year. And so hopefully things will be looking up for everyone. Okay, 418 here on WMFO in Medford. Going to take a little break. I will be back, I promise.
Thank you. someone you love has a problem with drugs and alcohol.
He's not expecting this.
Yeah, but it's the right thing.
There is something you can do.
I think he'll be okay with this.
Shh. Here he comes.
Congratulations!
You can celebrate his recovery every chance you get. For drug and alcohol treatment referral for you or someone you know, call 1-800-662-HELP.
That's 1-800-662-HELP. And that message is brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. Hey, can you believe this? I have lost. Oh, here it is. And all my paperwork, I could not find my the rest of my sports scores. But before we get off the Celtics, the knock on Kyrie Irving was that, yeah, he's a great player. Probably one of the top five point guards in the league. Not that great a passer, so people said. And he's not going to really knock himself out on defense either. Well, he's proving everybody wrong because he's tremendously passing the ball and he's playing very good defense. And there's really no drop-off when he goes out as far as Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, who are noted for their defense, when they come in, because he's already set the tone. And he's doing really well with passing the ball as well. Matter of fact, he is benefiting by the athleticism. Now, I said that this is probably the most athletic Celtics team I've ever seen in the history of the ball club. And the problem last year was that when Isaiah Thomas would penetrate, especially in the playoffs, when Isaiah Thomas would penetrate, they would double, maybe even triple him, and we passed the ball out. Nobody was hitting any shots. I wouldn't say nobody, but they weren't hitting a high percentage of shots. What's happening now is that as Kyrie Irving penetrates, he's passing out, and they are knocking down the shots like crazy. Brown and Tatum and Al Horford. And so therefore, that's making the team that much better, because he can penetrate just as well as Isaiah Thomas did. And he's getting the results that Isaiah did not get. So hopefully we can keep that ball rolling. Okay, let's move off basketball and the Boston Celtics and see what else we have on our sheet that I could not find for a minute and began to panic. I know I had it here somewhere. I just got lost in all the paperwork. Let's go to the National Hockey League yesterday. The Golden Knights 5 and the Senators 4. The Capitals 3 and the Bruins 2. The Rangers 5 and the Panthers 4. That was an overtime game. The Lightning 5 and the Blue Jackets 4. That was a shootout. The Blues 6 and the Maple Leafs 4. The Avalanche 5 and the Flyers 4. That was a shootout. The Stars 5 and the Sabres 1. The Canadiens 5 and the Jets 4. That was an overtime win. The Coyotes 2 and the Hurricanes 1. That was a shootout. The Blackhawks 2 and the Wild zip. The Predators 4 and the Kings 3. And that went into overtime. The Canucks 4 and the Penguins 2. The Sharks 2 and the Ducks 1. That was a shootout. In the Bruins game, at 7:01 of the first period, Wilson for the Capitals got his first goal of the year with assists from Eller and Stevenson. And at 13:06 of that same first period, Ovechkin got his 11th goal of the year with assists from Kunetsov and Orlov. At the end of the first period, it was the Capitals 2 and the Bruins zip. At 3:37 of the second period, Pasternak got his 7th goal of the year with assists from Bergeron and Krug, making it 2-1 Capitals. But at 18:50, Wilson got his 2nd goal. He's just waiting for a chance to play in Boston Garden, TD Garden. He got his 2nd goal of the year with assists from Orpik, making it 3-1 in favor of the Caps. And at 17:28 of the final period, Pasternak He likes the garden also. Got his 8th goal of the year on the power play with assists from Marchand and Krug. Final score, Capitals 3 and the Bruins 2. Holtby got 31 saves for the Capitals. Rask had 24 saves for the Bruins. And on the breakaway, I saw Rask stop Ovechkin after he stole the puck from someone and broke in on the goalie, but Rask took it away from him. And so therefore, hey, the Bruins right now, to me, still are a middle-of-the-pack ball club. I don't see them being a major contender, but they have, like the Celtics, a lot of young guys. How good these young guys are going to be as the season progresses, only time will tell. So I can't make any major forecasts. I won't make any major forecasts. I could, but I'm not going to make any major forecasts. But I can also say that there are teams that are still, that you would think would be contending, are struggling. The Penguins, for example, and the Blackhawks have been having their problems. And let me see here. What did I should get both sheets out here, right? Okay. The Penguins lost yesterday. Can't find anything here. Hello. Okay, the Penguins have 8 wins, 6 losses, and 2 OLs. And they have 18 points. They're trailing New Jersey and Columbus. No, actually, they're tied with New Jersey, and they're trailing Columbus. And Chicago is the Blackhawks. Where are they? Blackhawks lost yesterday. Blackhawks won yesterday. Okay, so they are 7-5. And they trail a bunch of clubs. And who else? Los Angeles Kings. Gosh, the Angeles Kings are off to a great start. They're 10-2 in their first 12 games, 13 games. How can you be 10-2? They have an OL. Okay, so anyway, concerning the Bruins' progress, I would give them the benefit of the doubt. Guys like McAvoy, some of the other young players, I think are going to be continually on the improve, and they're young, and so there is room for improvement once they get their feet used to the pressure of playing in the big leagues on a regular basis. I think that they'll come through, and but I still think that they're probably a middle of the pack ball club, and if they get into the playoffs, might be an early exit. Here again, health is a big issue as well. I don't know how well they can survive any major injuries to any key players. 4:30 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we are multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, first Sunday in November the 5th, 2017 edition of our Brown Perspective on Sports here virtually every Sunday, talking sports from about 4 to 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in some sports conversation, and to do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Love to hear your perspective on what's going on there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
Very simple.
You just buy a few boxes from a Girl Scout and that's it, right?
But you wouldn't believe the skills we learn by the whole experience of selling them.
Did you know there are things you as a customer can do to help us?
Say hello. Always gets things off on the right foot.
Eye contact is key. We're developing our people skills.
Ask us about our inventory. We have something for every taste.
Notice our new boxes. They tell the story of what we do.
And people like a good story.
Ask us where the money goes.
Our team gets to decide.
We're building a playground.
We're planning our first trip abroad.
We're going to our first pro baseball game.
Let us know if you are a Girl Scout.
Girl Scouts are everywhere.
So thanks for your help this year.
We can tell.
You're going to be a great cookie buyer.
When a Girl Scout sells you cookies, she's building a lifetime of skills and confidence.
You are so ready to buy cookies.
This is what a girl can do. Girl Scout cookie season is here. Find your cookies at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And the message is brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and the Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:36 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here regularly every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, just have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Let's go to college football on Friday. Memphis 41, Tulsa 14, and yesterday Georgia 24, South Carolina 10. Kind of surprised that Georgia was picked ahead of Alabama, as the college NCAA people do their mid-season selections as far as who's standing where in the playoff run. And anyway, Georgia defeated South Carolina 24-10. Alabama, not to be outdone, defeated LSU 24-10. Alabama's in second place. Notre Dame 48, Wake Forest 37. Ooh. If Notre Dame's going to continue on the run for the playoffs, they got to improve that defense. Clemson 38, North Carolina State 31. Same thing for Clemson. And here's a barn burner, Oklahoma 62, that's right, 6-2 for Oklahoma, Oklahoma State 52. The guy on the scoreboard must have been exhausted. And here's an upset, unranked Iowa defeated Ohio State, who was ranked number 6. Not only defeated them, they pounded them, 55-24, Iowa over Ohio State, 55-24. Ohio State's going to drop like a lead balloon. Another upset. Michigan State, ranked number 24, defeated Penn State, ranked number 7, 27-24. TCU, 24, Texas, 7. Wisconsin, 45. Indiana, 17. Wisconsin's still undefeated. They'll move up in the rankings, I believe. Miami, 28. Virginia Tech, 10. Washington, 38. Oregon, 3. Auburn, 42. Texas A&M, 27. Upset. Unranked West Virginia defeated Iowa State, who was ranked number 15, 20-16. Mississippi State, 34. UMass, 23. USC, 49. Arizona, 35. UCF, 31. SMU, 24. And another upset to end the night among the top 25. Washington State, who was ranked number 25, defeated Stanford, who was ranked number 21, 24-21. So the top two teams should stay where they are. Georgia and Alabama. Notre Dame and Clemson may hold on to their 3 and 4 positions, but anything can happen. And I said they're going to have to improve on defense if they're going to be major contenders for the college football playoffs. 4:39 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We're multicasting, iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, November the 5th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
Thank you. What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
And that message was brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sons of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 444 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in a sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Congratulations are in order for the World Series champions, the Houston Astros. First championship in their history. And so, therefore, kudos and applaud and all kinds of stuff like that for the Houston Astros. And actually, I guess, in the Dodgers, you know, they played them tooth and nail. 7-game series. You can't ask for much more than that. Houston certainly benefited by having picking up Jason Verlander before the trade deadline ended. And I guess that was enough for them to make it all the way through. And to be truthful, the L.A. Dodgers had so many young players, and being in the National League and playing on the West Coast, don't get that much of a chance to see them play. And so it was a little surprising that they, with those players, got as far as they did. But they had a tremendous season. They had a fall off before the playoff start, but they seemed to right their ship, and they got through the initial playoffs and then into the World Series. And so, hey, I guess you can give a tip of the hat to the Dodgers as well. Chicago Cubbies, who won last year for the first time in 100,000 million years. Well, they got to the playoffs, but they faded under the pressure and were not able to repeat. And I don't think there's been a repeat champion in quite a few years now. So maybe that says something about the parity in Major League Baseball. And as you know, I am totally opposed to the fact that American League teams cannot use the designated hitter when they're playing in National League parks, but National League teams can use the designated hitter when they play in American League. What is that? I don't understand that at all. And why American League owners allow that to continue just doesn't make any sense to me. I remember a game for the Red Sox early in the season. I think they were playing at Philadelphia. And Chris Sale was on the mound. And he's not only a great pitcher, but he's also a pretty good hitter. And got a hit, I believe. And as he was running down first base, I guess it was a possibility of turning it into a double. And I'm saying, oh my goodness, you don't want this guy on base. And when he stepped on the first base bag, I said, oh, that could go an ankle. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. And if I was an American League owner, I would be champing at the bit to get that changed so that you can use. Well, you're paying this. You're paying a designated. You form your team to have a designated hitter because you play most of your games in the American League. And then when you go to a National League team, and this big bucks player is going to have to sit down. What? That doesn't make any sense. You're throwing money out the window for all these interleague games that you cannot use one of your better players, certainly one of your better hitters. But anyway, I am going to, in the months leading up to the 2018 baseball season, be giving you my assessment of how the Red Sox are going to do, what they should do to improve, and get up there where they aren't that far behind. And if you know, if you've heard previous programs, I could not understand the firing of John Farrell. And supposedly all the media people who supposedly know what's going on said he lost control of the clubhouse. What? What does control of the clubhouse have to do with what's going on in the field, first of all? Secondly, the manager cannot hit for people. You know, Mookie Betts had an off year. Xander Bogaerts had an off year. Dustin Pedroia was having a great year until he re-injured his knee. And, you take those three bats. Benintendi looked like he had leveled off. Jackie Bradley had a down year. And I'm sorry, we didn't lose the... I'm trying to think of all the other players. I'm talking top of my head here without any notes or anything like that. So that's why that happens. And so therefore, oh yeah, we lost Wright at the beginning of the year. And this is one thing I'm going to throw out there, and I'm mentioning it now so you can get an advance opportunity to either criticize or agree with me. I think next year we should go with a six-man rotation. Why a six-man rotation? Why a five-man rotation? You know, why not go for a six-man rotation? Why? I think Wright's coming back if he's healthy with his knuckleball. We were extremely left-handed in our rotation. Two best pitchers were left-handed, Sale and Pomerantz. And David Price came back from his injury and showed that he can still fire the ball. So we're going to have at least three left-handers. And then there is Eduardo Rodriguez. You know, you can't just throw him away. And so that's four left-handers. Porcello had a down year, so he'd be our only right-hander. And hopefully he's going to bounce back. But with Wright coming back, I would go with six pitchers. And hopefully that would cut down on some of the wear and tear on Chris Sale, who has shown that near the end of the season, you know, he does tail off. And if it's a physical thing, you know, the extra day in the rotation certainly could be a solution. But that's just me throwing it out there. It's 4:51 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. On the internet as well, www.wmfo.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, November the 5th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sport, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. We'll be back, and we'll be talking NFL and the New England Patriots. Okay, 4:56 here on WMFO in Medford, National Football League. For those of you who are regular listeners to the program, you know I am engaged in a heated battle with my son, my grandson, our good friends Kenny and Bill, as we try to determine who are going to win the games in the National Football League each week. And right now, Bill is in first place. I think it's since he started with us about 3 or 4 years ago. This is the first time he's been in first place all by himself. Bill has 74 wins and 45 losses. I'm tied with Scott for second place with 72 wins and 47 losses. And Kyle and Kenny are bringing up the rear. They're tied with 67 wins and 52 losses. I think Kenny can tell Bill how difficult it is to stay in first place. I think Kenny, Bill, and myself are the only ones who occupied first place this year. And it's been a difficult year, let me say that right off the bat. There are some teams who have played horribly 1 week, and you all of a sudden they turn it around the next week and pull it out, and you're saying, what? Where? What happened? But here again, I'm trying to find my sheet here with all my stuff on it. And somehow or other, it has eluded me again. Oh my. I've got to do a better job of record keeping. Oh well. There you go. I mean, we're in week 9, and I can't find my week 9 picks. Why can't I find my week 9 picks? Where